Father, thank you that
you did indeed step down into the darkness of this world to become the light. And Father, we celebrate that today. Lord, we thank you that you have come as a person, come as a man, to walk with us and beside us and in our lives, and not be some distant kind of God, Lord, but to walk with us and be with us in our hearts and our minds and our whole lives. And we thank you for that. Father, we celebrate that today. We thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name, amen.
Well, who's doing the reading this morning? Well, we had someone appointed, but it's a long way from the back up here for just one verse. So I thought it would be nice if we all did the reading this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. My diction mustn't have been very good when I spoke earlier. Whoop, we're back again. Oh, we're doing well this morning. Because the trouble was I learnt it in the AV. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, we still can't find it. Well. Hey. Right. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Where's it found? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. A short reading, but I'm not promising you a short sermon. As I said, I learnt that in the AV. Slightly different. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Oh, I see a few heads nodding there. Some of you also remember that. That's great. And this has been a time of gifts. I've never seen the shops so busy before Christmas. I've never seen so many people coming out loaded up. And I've never been or seen so many gifts in the home. I was at a special Christmas day, and people came in with the gifts for the children. Not my generation when I was a youngster. When people came in, they came in and they handed you a gift. They came in with sacks full and gave one to that child, one to that child. And they went in, and oh boy, what excitement. I've never seen Christmas wrapping that took some grown-ups hours to do, just torn apart within seconds to get the gift. And I did hear in my house, or the house I was at, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then the gift was put down and another packet was got hold of and it was ripped open. Didn't quite do that in our day, my generation, did it? Now, I can see a few of you. Well, we had a sort of different Christmas when I was a youngster. And when we used to have the gift, we said thank you to the person that gave it to us when they came, but a lot of the gifts were under the tree because the people weren't coming. They sent their gifts. And when we got the gift, before I got hold of that paper to rip it open, do you know what my mum did? I can see a few heads going there. They took the gift tag, and on it was from Auntie Annie, Uncle Arthur, and Mum watched us rip it open, and she got a pen. Oh, yeah. And she wrote down what the gift was. Well, I didn't think much about that on Christmas Day. But Boxing Day, oh boy, the next day, Mum sat me down at a table and she says to me, Douglas, you're going to write some letters. And I had to write a letter of thank you for the gift. Indescribable, unspeakable. In fact, on one or two of them, I would have liked to have written, sorry, it broke. We used to have wind-up toys in those days. We didn't have electric, we had clockwork. And you overwound the spring and that was it. The train engine never ran again. But there you are. You wrote the letters. I said to my grandson one day during the past year when he came round after school and we got talking and he didn't have a lot of conversation. And we just said to him, well, don't you talk to us? Oh, no, you just send a text. Conversation is dying, isn't it? We send a text. Well, I wonder, all those gifts that you had is over Christmas, us older ones as well, have we said thank you? Because that's so important. Oh yes, I said thank you when I got it. But have we ever sat down and really thought, I wonder, could that person really afford that present? I went home, when in fact it was yesterday. I looked up the Argus catalogue to find out how much some of the presents my grandchildren got cost. And I thought, dearie me, that was a lot of money for that. I wonder how many of us have just been out and bought gifts and we're waiting for next end of the month when that little bit of paper comes through the door and says, your credit balance and what you owe on that wonderful card that you bought the presents on. Some of us are going to get a big shock. I don't know how many of you watch the programs on television, especially the one with, I think it's Greg Wallace, where he's going around trying to help people cut down the cost of spending for Christmas. He went round with this couple. They had a lovely house right on the River Thames. Don't know if you saw the programme. Beautiful boats all moored alongside. And I thought, oh, these people have got a bit of money. And they went out to do the Christmas shopping. And when they got to the checkout, Greg was there with his special cut the cost mate. And he says, do you know what that shopping trolley is going to cost you? Oh, about £500. Oh. And the other lady said, no, I don't know. I think it might be a little bit more than that. If I remember rightly, it came to £860. And they thought, well, we don't think it was as much as all that. Well, cut the long story short, they did something, went around and bought all the stuff from all the other shops, and then had a secret party with all the folk in, and all the labels were left off everything, and they were told to try one, two, or three. They were buying champagne at £24.60 a bottle. And the bottle that they liked was from Aldi for £7. At the end of the day, keeping the story short because I am a blatherer, they saved that couple using the material or the goods that they said that they liked. They saved that couple their bill of £760. What's all that got to do with our text this morning? Which is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Well, that's what it's about. But have you ever spoken to your grandparents, youngsters, and said, what was Christmas like when you were a boy, Granddad? Well, I can tell you some Christmas stories. And I know I'm not alone, because a lot of granny and granddads here will remember this. Don't know how many of you were around in 1936. I was there. That gives you some idea how old I am. I was around in 1936. And my dad was out of work. He lost his job. No benefits. No labour exchange. No one to give him any money. He had to go around looking for work. And he would line up with something like 100 men outside a factory and wait for the bloke to come out and say, you, you, and you, inside, I've got a job for you. Rest of you, go home, nothing else. Mum said to me as a young lad, my sister, and said, Santa Claus isn't coming this year. There'll be no presents. And I've got no money to give you to buy Mum or Dad a present. Do you know what we're going to do? We're going to sit down at this table. And you're going to have a piece of paper and a pen, pencil. And you're going to draw what you want to give me for Christmas. Oh boy. What did I want to give Mum? I can remember. I drew a house with roses all round the door. I was always going to buy my Mum a house with roses. She never got it. Poor Mum. But that's what I drew her. And my sister, she did a drawing as well. And that's what we did. And we put them in envelopes, and we didn't have a Christmas tree. We had a sprig off the hedge that grew in the garden. And we stuck that in a pot. And next day we opened up the presents and said thank you for the picture that was there. Oh, well, we did have a little stocking. Don't see them hung up today. And in the stocking was an apple and an orange. That was Christmas. And we were not a hard-up family, because the job my dad had was manager of Freeman and Hardy Willis Shoe Shop. But he lost his job. Well, that's it. Early memories. But thank you for Christmas. Thank you for the gift. I didn't want to dwell on chapter 9. Chapter 9's all about money. Giving money. Not spending it, giving it. But Paul got to that point and said, but do you know, as great as the gift that you are giving to someone else, the greatest gift is God's gift. His unspeakable gift. That indescribable gift. The gift that you cannot find words to express. And my wife and I followed another program over Christmas, or up to Christmas, Professional Master Chef. And it always came to that moment where, forgotten the lady chef's name, but you know who I mean. She said to the chef, it's not got the wow factor. That indescribable word. The wow. What's been the wow for Christmas for you? I hope it's Jesus, because that's who Paul is talking about. He's saying the indescribable gift, the unspeakable gift is Jesus. He is your example. He is the one that motivates you to give. And because of that, something remarkable happened in the church in Corinth and the church in Jerusalem. Do you know they were two different types of churches? Because of the people that were in them. In Jerusalem, the church was totally Jewish. They were all Jewish Christians. People have found the Messiah and said, hallelujah. But the church in Corinth was non-Jewish. Non-Jewish. And they had a collection, and they weren't a rich church. They were a poor church. And they were collecting money weekly for the church in Jerusalem. The Jews had no time for the Gentiles. The Gentiles had no time for the Jews. They hated each other. And it still goes on, doesn't it? But they were all believers in Jesus. And the unspeakable gift of Jesus had brought unity. Unity between the two, that one could give to the other. And particularly the non-Jewish church, to give to the Jewish. They had become one, united through Jesus. And it's great when people come together because of Jesus. The enmity is gone. There's no more fighting and just the giving. And that's because of God's gift. That's the tremendous thing. Yes, we can go on and we can say, why is it unspeakable? Why is it indescribable? Because it's the gift of love. Can you describe love? Well, ask a man to describe how his wife loves him. He'll give you a long list, if he's sensible. He'll tell you how much she loves him by all the things that she does for him. Ask the wife, why do you love? Because I do. That's women for you. Because I do. I'm motivated by that. I love him. Well, that's the wonderful thing. And we can look at the love of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a gift, isn't it? That's a tremendous gift. The gift of God's love. A love which changes people. That's a tremendous thing. People say, Christianity doesn't work. Short story, just come in my head. Old as the hills, my wife's heard it hundreds of times. A cruise ship comes to a little island in the Pacific. They get out, and there's all the natives all waiting for them and saying, nice to see you. And it was a Christmas cruise. And so the chap said, well, happy Christmas. May the Lord bless you and may Jesus. And the bloke says, oh, you don't believe all that rubbish, do you? All that rubbish about Jesus, you don't want anything to do with that. And this native looked at him and said, brother, if you had come here 10 years ago, before I knew about Jesus, you would be in the cooking pot. Makes a difference to know Jesus. That's funny. You've stopped swearing. You've stopped telling dirty jokes. Why? I've taken Jesus as my saviour. Oh, that's a load of rubbish. Well, you're not going to hear any more dirty stories, no more dirty jokes, no more swearing. Jesus has changed me. That's the evidence, isn't it? Great, wonderful, unspeakable love. But it's more than that. Whosoever believeth in Jesus Christ has passed from death to life. Why? Because Jesus died on the cross. An unspeakable, indescribable sacrifice. Jesus died for me. That is, I can't explain it. I can't even understand it. But I know he did it. And it's produced the results that are unspeakable. Finally. And if you've read Paul, you know he says that about 8 times before he finishes the letter. But there we are, finally. The gift that is ours, that we've been enjoying, some of us, for years. I haven't got any of the gifts I got when I was a child left. Not one. But I was 17 years old when I gave my life to Jesus and asked him to come in and forgive me. And I've still got him. He's still with me. He's not worn out. He's not broken. No, he's working still in my life, producing the results that he wants. Well, I always found this Sunday a difficult one when it came for me to preach when I was in pastorate. It's a sort of in-between Sunday. Celebration of Christmas is past. And ahead is the new year. You know, that wonderful moment when we decide all the things we're going to stop doing and all the things we're going to start doing. Well, thanks be to God for his unspeakable, indescribable gift. But as a church, We're looking ahead. Because of my new status, and if you don't know it, just go and have a little look at the pictures outside. I've got talking to a few people and they're sort of not too happy, some of you. I know I'm not about the new year here. And I know some of us have got very confused. You know, the way ahead, discipleship classes, life groups, outreach groups, church establishment groups. Oh, dearie me, what's going on? I can't cope with that. Look, at my age, please. My age. What do you expect me to do? I'm just not ready for change. I can't cope with change, especially drastic change. And let's face it, the past year has been a bit of a drastic change for some of us. I don't know if you'll hear this, Scott, but he's changed a lot of things, isn't he? A lot of things have happened. But we're still here, aren't we? Why? Because of the gift of Jesus. And that's what I want us to grab from this. The unspeakable gift of Jesus is saying to us, come on, we've got a new year ahead of us. All right, so you don't know what's going to happen. Did we ever? And even when we did we get it right? Not many times. But nevertheless, get involved. Be motivated by Jesus. He will open the door for the work we're to do. We're not all going to be doing the same thing. We're not all going to be this, that, and the other. But what I want us to say, let's do it with Jesus. One of the great descriptions of the church, the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit, gave to us, was quite simply to describe the church as a body. And he said, there's the hand, there's the arm, there's the leg, there's the head, there's the eye. And every part needs the other part, because no one can be part of the body or the total body on its own. If the eye was on its own without the body, it'll be forever rolling in the mud and the muck. If the hand wasn't attached to an arm, attached to the body, it'll be forever on the ground, useless. I'm going to end with another little story. I pastored a church in Scotland, and a person said to me, I don't have a gift. And I just looked at her, dear, excuse my language, I'm an Englishman, a little old lady. And I looked at her and I said, what do you mean you don't have a gift? I don't have a gift to be the part of the body. But I said, you're a vital part of this body. She said, why, I don't do anything. I said, well, that's part of the answer. But the part that you do, do you know what it is? She says, no. I said, I see people in the church who are busybodies, gossipers, always got something nasty to say about somebody else. The backstabber, very nice to your face, but to your friends and relatives, they say nasty things. And I said, and they came up to you. And I said, they all come to you in the end, and they start to tell you all the nasty stories. And what do? You listen. And it goes in and in. But nothing ever comes out. She looked at me and said, well, I said, Paul left out a part of the body, but I said, it's there. She said, what's that? I said, the kidney. I said, you're the kidney of the body. You take all the rubbish, all the muck, and you just get rid of it. You don't share it with anybody. We need people like that to keep the unity and the love of the fellowship. Or 2 Corinthians 9:15. I wonder if you remember what it says. Thanks be to God for his indescribable, unspeakable gift. Let's pray. Jesus, we just can't find words to express all that you have done for us in the past. And some of us can look back years and say, yes, Lord, you did that, that, and that. Oh, Jesus, thank you so much. We can look at the present and say, yes, Jesus, you helped me here. Yes, yes, Jesus, yes. And I can look ahead and say, well, you were there in the past, you were there in the present, you're going to be there in the future. Thank you, Jesus. Keep me close to yourself. Help me to be what you want me to be. Help me do the things that you want me to do in the life of the body of this church. That we will continue to praise you for the indescribable and unspeakable things you are yet going to do in us, for us, and for this community. Amen.